Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, entrepreneurs typically have much of their wealth tied up in their business. This concentration can generate significant returns, but also has many drawbacks. So how can diversification help entrepreneurs manage investment risks, reduce swings in income, and achieve consistent returns? For more insights, we speak to Ng Li Lian, Country Head of Business Banking, and Philip Coons, Head of Global Private Banking for Southeast Asia at HSBC Private Banking. Lilian and Philip, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Howie.
Thank you, Howie.
So let's start with oftentimes SMEs starting their startups, so to speak, in their capital by investing their own personal and family wealth into the business. And then later, this can cause complications for the business as they try to grow and scale. So they put more of their personal wealth at risk. So for any business owner, let's start with you, Lilian. How can they start ensuring that they keep their finances separate? And why is keeping it separate a good idea?
Yeah, so Howie, I think for any business startups, regardless of size of the company, it is always good practice to keep personal and business finances separate. And what this means is you keep a separate set of accounts to record your income expenses relating to the business, and you maintain separate assets and delineate wealth between personal and business accounts. So for example, I would urge that perhaps a business owner should give himself or herself a monthly salary like an employee. You maintain your separate bank accounts for your business and personal use. You know, when SMEs grow in scale, establishing clearer governance becomes increasingly important. You know, there are advantages in keeping finances separate, right? Number one, it puts increased emphasis on owner to operate the company as efficiently as possible and to optimize profitability and the shareholders' value. Number two, eventually, I believe most businesses will need to seek some form of funding, be it from a bank or from an investor. So when you have separate finances, it facilitates the due diligence on how well the business is operating on its own accord. So how can they start then, right? So I'm going to just touch on three ways. For example, professional managers, the accountants and the auditors, they help to ensure the books are professionally managed. And when you do this at an early stage, it's good, especially when you know you have an ambition to bring in outside investors eventually, because they will demand transparency on your company books. Number two, commercial bankers, whom you do rely to advise on what's most suitable for your business, right? And you can tap on them. And typically, they'll review your business and then they will assess the company to provide any financial support, to provide any funding gaps. And the expectations are from the bankers is whatever that is available is for the use of the business and is not to be commingled with personal use. And my colleague Philip will talk about, you know, from a wealth side.
Philip, go ahead.
Wealth managers provide guidance on how to invest outside of the business for the benefit of the family. This includes, but is not limited to, diversified portfolios across asset classes and geographies, guidance on family wealth, such as savings for the children's education, mortgages, investment products, car loans, and so on. Sometimes entrepreneurs will neglect their personal wealth because they have tunnel vision on managing their business. It is important to establish a wealth plan as early as possible.
Even when there's no wealth to speak of, so to speak, you've just started the business, so you're sort of concentrating on growing it. But one stepping stone for growth, for example, Philip, is international expansion. But there are pitfalls, right, if you don't sort of start to separate right from the get-go. There are bear traps. And do you have any navigational tips in international business and personal finance, Philip?
International operations can also mean international needs. Consider a banking partner that can support cross-border wealth needs. As businesses expand overseas, there is an increased sophistication required, especially as personal net worth increases. Children get older and may opt to study overseas. Succession planning can require familiarization of trust and estate planning. HSBC can provide day-to-day banking support like credit cards and debit accounts, alongside with sophisticated access to investment advisors and products.
So I think, I'd like to talk about on the business side, right? We all know that Singapore has a limited population and geography, and this means that SMEs do outgrow the domestic economy at an early stage. So they will need to look outside of Singapore, right? And we do know that in our Navigator Business Sentiment talked about, despite this ongoing pandemic, 87% of businesses actually plan to still continue with their international expansion. So to me, what are the pitfalls, right? Number one, unfamiliarity on market demand or consumer behavior in that new market, the regulatory requirements that you need to understand, the import-export guidelines, the supplier-distributor expectations. These are the things where it is easy to get wrong, and it is important to get it right. And when you get it right, it will smoothen your process of entering a new market. So what should businesses do? I think we just have to be on the front foot when setting up operations. We should be finding the trusted partners who can support us. And this includes your supply and distribution network, your banking partner, your professional network, industry partners, and even government agencies, right? So look for someone who is experienced in that market who can help you to navigate even cultural and business ways of working. And lastly, aside from all this help that I talked about, nothing beats investing your own time in that new market to understand the nuances of doing business.
We're speaking with Ng Lee Lien, who's country head of business banking, also Philip Coons, head of global private banking for Southeast Asia, HSBC Private Banking. So let's talk about we're at the stage where the company or startup has pushed through commercial infancy, if you will. They're at a tipping point of becoming a corporate, gaining scale, but you may require an injection of capital. So obviously we know best to separate personal wealth and the finances of the company as soon as you can, so that you don't dip into your savings. What can be some of their options, though, Lee Lien, as they continue to grow the company so that their personal wealth isn't impacted?
Yeah, so we talk about when they first start up, it is very common that they will have to dip into their personal wealth or from, you know, family members to start the business. But clearly, as they grow, the company builds a certain track record that is positive, and of course, the company's balance sheet and profitability improve. I think that's when the company then can look into perhaps not tipping into their own personal wealth, but to tap on what's available outside. So I'm just going to touch on 4 points. Number one, your typical trusted banks, where they are happy to speak with you, they will assess you. And of course, if you have a viable business, I think most of the time, and it's one of the cheapest way of getting financing, is through the banks. Number two, venture capitalists, private equity funds. And they are keen on finding companies that are already experiencing good traction and ready for scale up. This often includes providing an equity ownership, and in exchange, we receive capital funding for expansion. And importantly, some even provide strategic mentorship and guidance on operations. Number three, public listing. Getting listed on the stock exchange allows a business to access debt capital markets and public funds. But in such scenarios, businesses need to meet the expectations that you're supposed to provide more visibility, transparency, and governance on your business process. And lastly, finding a strategic partner or mergers and acquisitions where you can then tap on the expertise or capabilities to reach scale. That's something that is missing currently in your business. You tap on another partner to then combine your business to grow together.
Yeah, Lillian, this is what I actually call moments of wealth, right? Whether on the back of an IPO or an M&A, entrepreneurs will come into a significant amount of personal wealth, often making them instant multimillionaires. Working with a private banker can prepare entrepreneurs to have a personal wealth plan and to understand how they can invest and protect it, can provide family guidance and establishing family governance, such as a trust and estate planning. Very often these conversations actually start very early, where together with my commercial banking colleagues, we actually go and visit the client. The private banker also intimately understands the business that the entrepreneur is running, and at the outset, giving ideas how that segregation can actually happen and take place. What is very, very important is that at the outset, in this plan, there's a purpose. What are these monies intended for? Is it for the school fees of the kids? Does it go far beyond that? Is there even a philanthropic idea at the end of this planning in mind? Legacy, etc., etc. So again, it's very important when these events occur to be ready for them and to be ready for them ahead of time rather than post-event. often that makes it a bit more complicated. So yes, the trick, the essence of it, is to very early set out your plan and adjust it as you go through these events and times as to how your business then evolves.
Has it become more challenging though, Philip? You know, the pandemic has thrown so many things into uncertainty and planning becomes more challenging, right?
Definitely. COVID has not made it easier. Family planning, how it has always been complex and complicated and needs a lot of time. The one piece that COVID has brought to the forefront more than before is also planning through the business, but also in your investments to make them far more sustainable, the so-called ESG investment aspect. Most probably that was the part that got catapulted the most under COVID.
So over the years, though, Philip, working with highly successful entrepreneurs, what have you learned from them and how they've managed their business and wealth?
The biggest privilege of a private banker, of course, is to interact with these captains of industries, these entrepreneurs. And every day is a learning of kind across sectors and industries. There are common threads, but each and every case has also its very personal and individual aspects to it. I think the most important learning is to have a plan, to have a goal and an objective in mind. It is important at the very outset to segregate the two, protect your family savings so they don't need to be tapped on when the company should go through whatever challenging economic cycle. So it's very important to keep those aside. In particular, also, if you run a business with multiple partners, that you actually have the clear segregation of your private wealth. I think those are the most important tips that I would give to somebody who starts setting up a business.
And Lillian, in the local context, are you seeing more businesses, local SMEs especially, figuring this out, that this is really important, the segregation?
Yes, it is definitely, Harvey. I think I've been privileged enough to be speaking to a lot of entrepreneurs. What I've learned from them is I think they've always been very clear of their growth plans, as well as the strategy on how they plan to get to their plans. But at the same time, you mentioned about, you know, how COVID has thrown a lot of people off the track. And this is where I think a regular review of your business plans to make sure that your strategy still makes sense is a good thing to do. And as we do it, we talk about keeping personal and business finances separate. This is exactly what they have also done. When the business also starts to mature, right, and a lot of the entrepreneurs have their, say, for example, personal guarantee or their wealth in the business at the onset. At some point in time, because you want to protect your personal wealth, that's when you need to start making sure that everything is clear between business and personal. And then the next thing is when they plan for expansion, right? A lot of businesses, to me, have to ensure that there's always sufficient funding or even buffer sufficient liquidity for contingency. The next thing is really about succession. Whether you ask yourself, is the family business members going to take over? If yes, should you start bringing them into the business early to learn the ropes? And if not, then what is your plans for you to retire from the business? Yeah, whether or not you merge with another business, you sell, or you go into public listing where the professionals will then take over to run the business. And lastly, it's really about you building your wealth from young, that you want to preserve it, right? And this is where we collaborate very closely between commercial bankers and the private wealth managers to work together to achieve and help these business entrepreneurs grow and accumulate and preserve their wealth in the long run.
Lillian, thank you so much for your insights. Philip as well. You both stay safe, please.
Thanks, Howie. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Take care.
We've been speaking with Ng Lillian, Country Head of Business Banking, and Philip Coons, Head of Global Private Banking for Southeast Asia at HSBC Private Banking. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.